We're turning again to Romans 12, and I'll be reading from the first verse. Probably as I read, it'll bring back to mind some of the things that we've looked at in the passage. The word yourselves doesn't appear until a little way into the passage, but the whole passage has to do with our way we view ourselves. Let's read Romans 12, 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of the saints, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There are those who have taken this passage and tried to catalog specific gifts that God gives to different people to make them uniquely right for one job rather than another in the church. And I think they've gone too far sometimes, because they might give a person the reason to say, oh, that's not my gift, and not to do something that has to be done. How many times have you had to do what had to be done because there's nobody else to do it? And there's times that you reach out and, okay, you don't do it as well as you'd like to do it. You think it should be done better. But you're the one that's there, and it's got to be done. And that is often the case in the church of God. God hasn't, in every church, magically given every gift. And everybody's got to rise to do their part. It's not like they pop up here and there. We work together. We live together as a church. But God has spoken about the way he's equipped his church. And we're looking at that with regard to this passage. We've looked at verse 4. Just as each of us has one body, the idea of the fact that we are members of one body, Christ has made us that, and everyone doesn't have the same function, we focused on the fact that we all belong to each other. We belong. It's dealing with, how do you view yourself? He said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think of yourself soberly, with right judgment. Okay, then it's what you think of yourself. How do you view yourself? How do you see yourself with regard to the church? We used the illustration at one point, person that thinks, I'm coming to the church to be served. Well, that's not in Jesus' mind. I'm coming to the church to serve is a better perspective. And the issue is, what can you do? What is the thing God has equipped you to do? And we've dealt with it not as gifts, but as knacks. People have a knack for different things. Some people just can do some things easily that are very hard for someone else, and other people can do something altogether different from that, and that amazes that person. It's wonderful the way we have knacks for doing certain things, and I would suggest that's more what he's dealing with, knacks for this or that. And you can perhaps look at these things and say, well, I have more of a knack for this, more of a knack for that. But if you view it in a way of saying, well, that's not my knack, so I'm not doing it, that is not what any part of your body does. What happens if one part of your body is disabled? The other parts rise to the occasion, and they help. We all belong to each other. Your legs are there for walking. What if you lost your legs? Well, then what do? You manage somehow. Or you find a means whereby you can overcome in that area and move anyway. I mean, your body works together. If you lack one thing, others rise to the occasion and do what they can. And that kind of picture, it seems to me, is the one to have. So we've looked, the last time what we looked at was, if it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. And it's just that some people have a knack for really being able to help people. Encourage them. The last one we looked at was encourage. But I made a wrong quote. I quoted the idea of encouraging, that you can meet people, talk to them, and lift them up. I used an illustration of a tune that was very popular in 1903 and is unknown since then. It's George M. Cohen, "Always Leave 'Em Laughing When You Say Goodbye." Well, I shouldn't have quoted that, because the actual message of that tune is terrible. What it says, I looked up the words. Google is really wonderful in many ways. And I looked up the words, and the whole theme of the song is, when you're talking with somebody and it gets to a serious subject, change the subject, tell a joke, and go. That's really all it says. Always leave them laughing. It simply means tell them a joke and go. That's what the theory of the song is. It's a terrible example. And I shouldn't have used that as a motive when we talk to each other. But if in some way, if not laughing, if we can lift people to where they're happier than they were by pointing them to Jesus, not by telling some joke, pointing them to Jesus, encouraging them about our prayers and lifting them up, if we can leave them happier than when we found them, that is a function of the Church of Christ. And I would suggest, it says, if you've got a knack for that, and some people really do, they've got a knack for lifting people. They've got a knack for encouraging. And if you do, then do it. And that's the thrust of all these things. If you can do that, do it. And the three we're looking at tonight are really neat, I think. I really appreciate, we're just lumping three together. I really appreciate them. And part of the reason is a reason that it's such a joy to preach to this church. Because when I challenge people for what they ought to be in Christ, there are so many that are being that. And there's so many that have got something of a vision for that. There's so many ways in which we have seen worked out in our midst the things that I'm preaching about. And I'm not trying to come up against a wall of opposition and say what you ought to be. It's much more filled with thankfulness, because there are many that are like this, and God has blessed them in our midst. So it's wonderfully encouraging to look at, and I'm glad to look at it, and I'd like to look at the last in this little group of yourselves, how we view ourselves, and I may touch something that is part of how you view yourself, or how you ought to view yourself in terms of ministering to the church. We're looking at the verse 8 goes encouraging. The three we want to look at is contributing to the needs of others, give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Those are the three. It does kind of go across a line of where the verse is and isn't. We're moving on. But it really comes in verse 8. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of the saints, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So those three we want to look at: contributing to the needs of the saints, leading, showing mercy. And may the Lord help us to benefit and be encouraged in these areas, that we can, as members one of another, reach out to strengthen one another. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us a body, that your purpose in the church is that it be a body, that you haven't intended that we all can do the same thing, but your purpose is that we each can do something different from what others can, so that like a body, we actually supply the needs of one another, and like a body, we actually belong to one another. Lord, help us to appreciate that. Help us to delight to belong, and help us to look for opportunities where we can manifest the love of Christ. We know that if we can do anything to encourage another person, it's the grace of God. There's no ability, there's nothing we can do to minister to another, but the grace of God has enabled it. And we know that's the case, Lord. But as you've purposed that we be the instrument of grace to somebody else, your instrument of grace to someone else, will you help us to see what that is and get a vision for it? and work toward it more and more. Help us in these things, we pray, Lord, and grant us your Holy Spirit this night as we consider your word together. May it come to us as an encouragement and blessing. Help us to exalt and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who in all these ways ministers to us and often does so through one another. Help us, we pray, for the glory of that great Lord who loved us and gave himself for us, that one who established us as his body here on earth. Bless us and help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The first one is if it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. It's giving. Now, if you deal with the subject of giving, most of us are convinced with regard to that. I never know what anybody gives at all to the church, but I'm conscious that God provides for our church. And he does so usually through the people of God who see the responsibility of giving to the work of God. And I think many have caught the vision of tithing. They recognize there's a blessing of God that connected with tithing, that when you trust God in that way, he rewards you. And we've realized that the way he does that is by rebuking the devourer, so that the things that would otherwise take money away somehow enables what we have to go farther. And we've observed that. And we've seen that I gave to the Lord and I didn't have this. Or we don't know what we didn't have, but I didn't have that visit to the emergency that cost me a lot besides what it cost insurance. And I didn't have this and they didn't have that. Well, we don't know what we don't have, but we've got an inkling that that's the way in which God provides for us when we honor him. He says that in Malachi, that we bring the tithes into the storehouse and I will open heaven and pour down blessing. There's not room to contain. I will rebuke the devourer. So there's some connection in all that, and that's not what it's talking about here. And we've seen something of that, and there's a blessing in trusting God, giving, but that's not your giving. That's what you owe God. God has desired that. And so most of you who have caught that vision do not view it as giving to God. Why, that's rendering to God that which is his due. This portion is God's. And the joy of it is I give what is God's. And as I give it to him, he does return a blessing and a reward. Not to say thank you for how kind I've been, but because that's the way that God blesses his people. We give and he rewards. And you've heard sermons that talk about shovel for shovel. You shovel a thing and God shovels for you. And you shovel toward him and he shovels toward you, but he's got a bigger shovel, is what people have said. And, you know, some have found that to be the case. And they've seen that God blesses that. Well, you can see why I'm not afraid to speak to this congregation with regard to that. How many of you have heard me preach a sermon that you had to dig deeper in order to meet the budget? 33 years I've been here. When have we challenged you? You've got to dig deeper to meet the budget. I don't think there has been a time. I don't remember ever preaching that sermon. I preached on giving because God speaks on giving. But to challenge people, I've heard of churches that have needed to have a campaign, not just to do new things, but to meet the budget they've already put up. When have we done that? How merciful God's been to us. And the way he's been so kind to us has been through people who are convinced. A portion of my income is God's. And I'm going to honor him with that which is his own and trust him to bless me. And he does. And we've seen that. And that's not what it's talking about. We talk about giving, but we don't mean this. This says contributing to the needs of others. This is the giving that goes beyond the tithe. That's not really giving. The giving that has caught the vision for giving to others. Just found opportunities where you can reach out. And it's not always money, it can be other things you can do. How many times has somebody given you something? It's been a wonderful encouragement. They've taken the time to make a meal and they've given it. Now, meals cost something, somebody's paying for it. But you've taken the time to do it and you give. And what a blessing that is to give. To spend your money to get that and then give it to somebody else. Well, that happens all the time. And it's wonderfully encouraging. And God tells you, if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. The blessing is that God blesses with giving generously. And we know we've read of cases in history where people have gotten that vision to the point that they just keep giving and giving. And we've got the legends of, like, Letourneau, who gave, determined to give twice his tithe. And God so blessed him that he determined to give three times his tithe. And God so blessed him that he determined to give four times. And in the end, he was giving like 90% of his money. He's given to God. He's still a rich man. It's amazing. Well, we have those special examples of people that caught that vision and they found they couldn't outgive God. Some of us have found that. Some people have discovered you can't outgive God. But that's the kind of thing he's talking about, giving and encouraging to give. And I've heard it said that people that particularly have that knack also often have the knack for making money. And this is where Bill Gothard, I think, has pointed out. He was convinced that, of course, he was talking more about it as some kind of a formal gift that God gives, but he mentioned the fact that often the person that has a gift for giving also has a knack for making money. And some people have that. Some people have the knack for making money. If that's connected with the knack for giving, that's a wonderful connection. And the fact is that God has often connected those two, and we've seen in our own midst people that give and God rewarding them. And a lot of that nobody knows exactly because you don't go boasting about the fact that you've given. You've done it. God has rewarded. Do you stand up and give a testimony? I mean, I'd like to see more testimonies when Pastor Reese gives us a testimony. But thank you, Joey, for that testimony. And amen. But the thing is, I'd like to hear more testimonies, but some of them, what can you do? I gave to such and such and God rewarded me. Doesn't that sound like you're calling attention to yourself? You wouldn't do that. You don't boast about what you've given. But the people that give and give and give again. And Paul encourages that. That's a wonderful part of the body of Christ. And it's Christ giving. And that's how you receive it. When you get something, especially when nobody said who gave it, Christ gave it to you. That's Jesus providing. And you take it as that. If you needed something and God provided in that way, you receive it as from the Lord. I know you do that because from time to time I've been asked to give something to somebody and I wasn't to tell who did it. And I said, I'm not allowed to tell. And you said, well, tell them that I appreciate it. Or you've written a note, thank you, that was God meeting a need in a remarkable way. And you come to me and say, would you give this back to whoever that was? So I've seen that happen and it's wonderful. And I would say it's an expression of kind of a knack for giving. Some people do it more than others. But it certainly is what Paul's talking about when he says, if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. It's the encouragement. It says, good going. What you're doing, good going. God is pleased. And there's a place where it's with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That's received by God, and Paul's encouraging it. So what's your self-image? Does it involve giving generously? Well, that's a good thing to have. Is it because you've got a knack for it? Well, if it is, wonderful, because it's fun. But is it something that, hey, you can do that? And that could be God's way of meeting somebody else's need. This is Jesus ministering to them. It's not, I pray that God will somehow bless them. I pray for them, and God does bless them through me. That's the neat thing. It's through me. It's still God doing it. It's not Jesus didn't help you, so you didn't help the person, so you helped them. Wait a minute. When you helped them, that was Jesus helping them. Gives us a sense that what we do for one another is Jesus doing it. It's not that we do it in honor of Jesus. That's the way Jesus does it. And our actions are his hand reaching out to others. Our actions are his giving, and that's the fun and the wonder of it. And that's, I suggest, what Paul is talking about when he talks about giving. Do it generously. The people that do that say to themselves, he gave himself for me. What can I give for him? And they're constantly reminded that Jesus gave everything for me. I can reach out to his people. I can reach out to others and give something to praise Jesus in doing it. And you can even, in your situation where you reach out even to people that aren't Christians, and know that God sends the rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous, and I can be a means of God's blessing that person, even at this point, if at this point they haven't trusted in Christ. Still, it is Jesus meeting their need. And maybe I can even find a way to involve Jesus with the meeting of someone's need. And missionaries try to do that. When they go to bring goods to another place, they try to say, in Jesus' name we give this. And they want the people to see that this is Jesus. This isn't some rich Americans meeting this need. This is Jesus meeting my needs through those that have more than I have. They want people to see that, that it's Christ ministering. So it's true even for those that aren't Christians, but it's so especially true when we're blessed by somebody in the church. It is Jesus blessing us because we're members one of another, and one member helps another. Well, that's one of the things that Paul says. This is our part of our self-image. If yours is giving, and for all of us, some of it should be giving, but if yours is giving, give generously and see and experience the blessing that's involved with that. Well, some people have that sense of the joy of giving, and that's why they set up matching funds. When there's a project to raise money for something, the people that set up the matching funds, why do they do that? Just to manipulate people? No. They have got the vision of giving. They know some people haven't got that. So what do? Set up matching funds. The person will have the feeling of giving twice because of what they give, and the person matches the gift just so the one that hasn't learned the joy of giving will learn it. I mean, sometimes that seems kind of mercenary. My gift doubles. I'm going to do it. Well, the reason that was set up was not to manipulate you, but to draw you into the joy of giving. And that was the view of the one that set up the matching fund. Draw you into the joy of giving because they found out what a blessing it was. So we ought not to misjudge the people that have matching funds as if they're manipulating people. No, no. It's giving an opportunity of somebody who's learned to give, has an opportunity of encouraging others to do what they have found to be such a joy. Well, that's what Paul says should be part of our self-image. This is how you should see yourself. And some of you will say, you know, that is, I know it should be, that is I. Oh, you'll think that's me. I know the verb to be takes a predicate nominative, but you'll say that's me. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for that encouragement, because Lord Jesus, that's me. And may God encourage you if that's the case. Well, the next thing that we look at is leadership. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And of course we can say, oh, leadership, well, that's the pastors, right? But he's not dealing with pastors here. Paul can deal with pastors. He does. But he talks about leadership. And it does exist in the church without it necessarily being trickling down from the top. Leaders of the church are not the ones that are to dictate everything. They're not the ones that are to come up with every plan. They're not the ones that are to do everything and appoint people to do it. They aren't CEOs of an organization. CEOs have a responsibility to run a tight ship and to make it go to profit. But a church is not given a CEO. That's not what pastors are. They're not CEOs. They teach the word of God and lift the vision of the people to be what they're supposed to be. But they are not those who dictate which is done, who's to do what, and how to do it. It's not intended that way. And so when it's talking of leadership here, it's not speaking to pastors and saying, this is how you should lead and do it this way. No, it's talking about natural leadership gifts that people have. They see a need, and they think about how they can organize it. They realize something can be done, and they realize some people can help. And so they get a group together to do a thing. They recognize it's needed, and they think, well, Sam and Fred and Jerry and Paul and James, they can be part of this. Hey, I'll call them up. And they lead. Now, somehow there's certain jobs that never get done without somebody getting on the phone and asking for a few to do it. And some people do not have a good ability of being able to call people and ask them to help. Some people really appreciate when there is help done, but they cannot call and summon people and enlist them. They're just not able to do that. And some people can. They can get a bunch of people together to do a project. They know who to call. They call them. Lo and behold, it works and it's fun. Well, naturally, I enjoy speaking of this. A gang that came over and tore down the walls in the rooms in the parsonage. Did I call them? No, I didn't. I was told when they were going to come. Somebody did. Glad they did. I'll be even gladder when it's done. I mean, that work is done, the rest of it. But glad they did. Well, what was that? That was in some way leadership, which somebody led and others followed. Well, that happens. And it happens in our church, and it's wonderful. And there are certain people that are singles, and they think through, what can we do with the singles? And so they work out something, lead, and suggest, do something. And it doesn't happen because the pastors were properly responsible in getting all the groups, all the... I know there are big churches that have a guy in charge, and he's got guys in charge of him, and each one's got a department, and they're all pursuing their thing, and it's all a big professional thing, and they're all very professional, and they do it well, and the church runs well. And of course, something of that's got to happen if it's a huge church. I'm sure that you've got to do something like that. But if it is simply an organization working smoothly under a skillful CEO, well, it might be a little like the body of Christ. But people need to walk very close to the Lord for it to be the body of Christ doing it. And it happens in our midst, not because there's such wonderful leadership from the top, but because we have real leadership within. And it's not official, but it's beautiful. Now, of course, I could mention Eben and be thankful. And we know what we mean. Vision for the older folks. And giving of himself. We could mention Gail. Did she get a note from the leadership that she was supposed to do something? No, and she's done a lot of things and gotten things going. How about Johnny, Reese, and Amy? Leadership, making something happen that is useful to people, seeing a need and reaching out because they were told to? No, they did. How about Joey? How many things? Don Maher? How many things? Darvin Straub? Some of them you don't even know about. And some that I haven't mentioned, and I'm pleased, don't be offended if there's somebody that falls into that category. That's always the danger of mentioning in a group people, then you always left somebody out. Well, you know the thing. The thing is, it happens all the time. People are always doing that. That's what he's talking about. If leadership, then govern diligently. Have you got gifts? Then find a way. Work it out. Ask who's needed. If they let you down, then ask somebody else. Don't be upset with them. You ask somebody else. See if you can get it done. If it needs doing, do it. Try to get it done. And governing is a matter of having the knack for being able to have a vision and get it going and not having to have orders from above to do it. Well, one could say, he's talking that way because he doesn't do very well at running the organization. And I'll say you're right in terms of it not running the organization very well. But to say that that's why that's happening, no. It's happening because Jesus is doing some things, and some people have gifts that they have found they can minister to others. And you've seen it. That's why I love this passage, because I say it not to those and say, you need to start doing this. I can say to myself, I need to lead better. I know that's the case. And there are some things that I ought to do better than I do. And I don't have any qualms about that. I mean, I've got qualms about it, but I can't do anything. I'm not trying to hide the fact that I fall short in what I need to do. But the thing is, that's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, if it's leadership, let him govern diligently. How can you make that work well? Do what you can. And in that, it is Christ working in his church. It's not that it's only of Jesus if the leadership has instigated it. The leadership doesn't have any special connection to Jesus that's more special than yours. You've got a responsibility. They can get yelled at if it's not done. You can't get yelled at for not doing what you would lead to do, but they can get yelled at. They could be. They're a church. I don't get yelled at, but there are churches where pastors get yelled at. I know that that is the case sometimes, and it makes me deeply thankful that I've never been yelled at. But there are people that have left a service and called up the pastor and railed at him. There's people that have treated people very badly. Churches that people have been very far from what they should have been. and members of churches that have just been unkind. Those things have happened. You probably know enough people to know that that kind of thing has hurt, and it's been in churches. You might even, the old timers might look back and see if you'd hear a little of that here. I just haven't seen any. I've only been here 33 years. But thank the Lord for 33 years, I haven't seen that. It's wonderful. Well, if you've got a gift, a knack for something, do it. People are doing that. And we can thank God that Jesus is doing it in our midst through those people. We can give glory to God and thanks to them. And when we don't know who did it, we give glory to God and thanks to Him for raising up within the body people that have done those things. Sometimes you can't even see the person, but you see the thing they've done and give glory to God in heaven. Well, may we appreciate it more. May we see it, recognize it. Doesn't mean that you have to go down this list and thank every person that I have mentioned or the others that I haven't, but it might be good in your heart to thank the Lord for them. And when there's opportunity, maybe speak a word of encouragement, saying, I'm talking about you, I think I agree. That could come in, but it doesn't need to come in. The main thing is, how do you view yourself? And those that view themselves in a place of service do not need everybody to come and pat them on the back. They didn't do it for that. They did it because that was what they wanted to do, and God opened the door, and God enabled them, and they did it, and it didn't work as well as it should, but nothing works as well as it should, and they're going to press on the best they can. And that's the way you did it. So you don't need to be commended. You didn't need me to mention any names from here. Well, if it's leadership, let him govern diligently. Plan the event, let it be known, look for help, plan the details, pull it off. Those are some things that could encourage those that have that. All in the context of, all under the oversight of the leading of the church. Never to undermine or to hurt the church, but not directed from the top like we have a CEO. Well, there's certain people who can do that, and God says go for it. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And the last one we're looking at in this passage is, because afterwards there's some very, very specific challenges, and it's not really a yourself passage, how you view yourself. These are all how you view yourself. What we look at, the last thing, is showing mercy. It says, if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. God has given some people a knack for showing mercy. They're the kind of person you can open up to and share the concerns. And they aren't going to lecture you. And they're not going to wag the finger, and they're not going to talk about you behind your back, but they're going to pray for you and mention scriptures that come through their mind, but basically they care. And they'll listen. And their job is not to make you do it right. Now, some people convey that to people. There are people who can't mention a thing that about somebody else that's negative without that person feeling offended. Maybe that's kind of the way we come across sometimes. We, instead of moving them toward feeling our sympathy, they feel our criticism and pull back. So some people are like, that's a personality thing sometimes. And so you have to say, well, some people can draw near to others, and they're a help. And other people can unburden their souls, and they can pray for the person. And you know you won't be lectured, you'll be prayed with. And that exists within the church. It is wonderful when people can do that. That's what Paul means when he talks about, if it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. That's where I kind of like the idea of leave them happier than they were. If you have that ability, seek if you can lift them. Your friendliness and your interest and your willingness to hear and your not wanting to judge is a wonderful encouragement in itself. And it can be done in a light of looking for what God will do. Encourage that God has not abandoned them and He will help them. That somebody at least is praying for them. Some people have a knack for that. They draw it out of people because that's the kind of person they are. And if you're not that, then I think you don't get pushy and try to make people regard you that way. You've got to see where you can reach out to people. And maybe there's a few that you can reach out to, and they can feel that about you. But that's one way that God reaches out to say he cares, is through the people of God who reach out to say they care. And Paul says, if that's your knack, showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Well, may the Lord help us to do those things. But really, the passage is not so much exhorting us all to do these things as saying, what can you do to minister to the church of God? Build people up, bless them, somehow supply something that's lacking. We can often see things that are lacking. How can we supply the thing that's lacking? Or how can we help to see it supplied? Well, what can we do? And it's all a matter of you're a person maybe that sees more clearly the problem than you are a person that can do anything about the problem. Well, is there a way to take your seeing and bring it to somebody who is better at doing? Is there something that God will cause in our midst? I mean, I challenge you about that, but that is the kind of thing that happens. Somebody's seeing of a thing brings it to be mentioned, not in a nasty way, but in a way that encourages somebody else to say, well, I can do something about that. And the church of God works, the body works, really like a body. Not everybody able to do everything, but different gifts being able to contribute to accomplish what God has in mind in our church. And I preach it and am thankful to, because there's so much of that going on. And that's what Jesus does in his body. And it's a blessing to be a part of that. Well, may the Lord give us a vision to function as belonging to the others, in a sense of not that they can order me around, that you don't order your finger around. There's a need, and your finger rises to the occasion if it can, unless your finger doesn't work right, and then your other hand does it. Or, you know, you find a way. But it's not like ordering each other around. It's a matter of willingly responding in such a way as to promote the health and the blessing of the church. And I speak it to those who have learned something of that, and pray that the Lord will help us to see ourselves, not more highly than we ought to think, but so as to so have sober judgment in accordance with our faith. Well, in sober judgment, in accordance with your faith, how can you help the people of God? What kind of knack do you have? May God lift your vision to do it. May God reward you as one who sought to do that. And may God make us more and more joining together as a church. That really completes the chapter 12, but I'm thinking I might go back to the first few verses that don't have yourselves, but really is working up to that, and that's what it really is a key. I think I might look at the first couple of verses that talk about presenting your body as a living sacrifice, because that's in the back of my mind and on my heart. Not because it's got the word yourselves, but because Paul has in his mind yourselves very much, as he helps you to see this is how to view yourself. And so I think we'll do that. But in this case, we're through with the chapter 12 section. I don't know, I'm not absolutely committed to how many other things come into this category. But I think these have been helpful. They've certainly been a joy to preach them in a place where they're so off, in so many ways, they are carried out by the people of God. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for being able to speak about things without feeling that I am working against opposition, that there are people that fight being told what to do. Lord, I don't want to tell people what to do. They're showing me what they do, and it's wonderful. And I'm thankful for it. Would you reward those, not just the ones I've mentioned, there are many others, Lord, that in their own quiet way have reached out to help, and you have used their help, although maybe they've never been appreciated. Those are the ones that I ask you to especially encourage and bless. And we know there's a special way in which you desire it to be that way, in that men are to see our good works and give glory to our Father, not glory to us. So help us, Lord, that we might be that way to one another, and more as a church, function in that way. Lord, you have already done this. Would you continue yet more and more, that we can more and more find joy in reaching out to other members of the church? Help us, and give us your grace, we pray, and help us to view ourselves aright. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.